This morning we'll be in chapter 24 of Acts. And as we left off in the 23rd chapter, Paul was being heard by Claudius Lysias, or whatever you say, and to Felix, and both of them guys had talked to him, and he said there he was going to let him be kept in Herod's judgment hall until he was ready for him. Okay, and now we start off with chapter 24, and it says, "And after 5 days, Annas the high priest descended with the elders, and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called for, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, See that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by your providence. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious to you, I pray that you would hear us of thy clemency, a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also has gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law, but the chief captain Lysias came upon us with great violence, took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, As much as I know that you have been many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that you mayest understand that we are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they accuse me now. But this I confess to you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And I have hope toward God that they themselves also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before you, and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, am I called in question by you this day? And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, When Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or come to him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you. He hoped also that money should have been given him from Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came to Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now, there's some good stuff in this chapter. We'll go back to the first verse again of chapter 24. And it says, After 5 days, Annas, he was the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus. Now, Annas' name means whom Yahweh has graciously given. But Tertullus means triple hardened. He was really a hard cat now. And he come to do nothing but accuse Paul. But what does five speak of? He said, but after 5 days, what's the five in there for? Why is it important for 5 days? There's grace and mercy. Five can mean death or grace, but here we're talking about grace, God's grace upon Paul. And he informed the governor against Paul, or he accused him of all kinds of things. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "By you we enjoy great peace," not quietness, but peace, "and reformation," not quietness, but great reformation, "and providential care are done unto this nation by you." So he's blowing the boss's horn, ain't he? He's trying to puff up the boss and saying, "Hey, look, I know you're a great guy. You do all these wonderful things for us. Now do what we want." Well, that's what he's trying, this accuser is doing. It says, "We accept always and in all places, most noble Felix," okay, "with all thankfulness," or all gratitude. So he's saying, he's just being so kind and so gracious to Felix that he thinks Felix is going to fall for this line, right? Do you think the Jews liked everything that Felix did to them? He was a ruler over them. He made decisions they didn't like. But they're sucking up to him a little bit here, hoping to get favor. Correct? And he said, "Notwithstanding," or literally the word should be but "that I may not be a further tedious to you, I desire you would hear us of your fairness," a few words, not clemency, but fairness. "I desire that you would hear of us of your fairness," a few words. He's saying, "I know you're really fair." He's really buttering him up. He says, "Because we have found this man a pestilent man, a stirrer of controversy," that's what it should say, instead of sedition, instead of mover of sedition, it should be a stirrer of controversy, "among all the Jews throughout," and the word "world" is wrong, it should be "throughout the Roman Empire." Okay? Why didn't they put the word there? I have no idea, but that's what it says. "And a leader," not a ringleader, "but a leader of the sect of the Nazarenes." Now, why would they call it a sect of the Nazarenes? What was a Nazarene? They were a separate people. And didn't God say he called us to be a separate people? We're not going to be like everybody else. Is that correct? So he's called a group of people to be separate from the world. "Come out from among them and be ye a separate people," was what the word says, isn't it? So they're going to bash him for being exactly what God told him to be. "Who also has tried to profane the temple." Another false statement. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he respected the law, even though he knew the law was fulfilled in Christ. He knew that, but he never denigrated the law. Okay? "Whom we took and desired to judge according to our law of Moses." See, they wouldn't do it according to the law of Moses. "But the captain," not the chief captain, but the captain or the colonel, Lysias, and his name means the releaser. So he was there to release him. Wonder who sent him? Father sent him to release him because it wasn't yet his time to go. "And with great force," not violence, but "with great force, took him out of our hands." Now, those soldiers didn't come in and start hurting people. They just come and took him and protected him. See, so the choice of words makes a big difference here. They didn't do violence. They just came with force and showed force. "We have the strength to take him. There's nothing you can do about it." They stopped him. That's all. But, of course, they like to put those flowery words. And isn't that kind of like religion? They like to put those flowery words on to make it say what they want. "Commanding his accusers to come to you by examining of whom thyself may know, take knowledge concerning all these things whereof we accuse him." And the Jews also joined in the attack. The word "assented" means joined in the attack, saying these things were so. Then Paul, after the governor had nodded, not beckoned, but nodded to him to speak, responded, "You have been of many years a judge to this nation. I do the confidently," should say the more cheerfully, should say confidently, "I do confidently answer for myself." Now this word "confidently," do you know how many people can't handle confidence? even boldness or confidence, it is misjudged by the worldly and religious people as being arrogance. Paul said, I do boldly answer for myself. And that was a word that was used with Jesus and the disciples. They said, when did we ever find someone teach with such boldness and confidence? Because they knew the truth. If you know the truth, can you tell the truth boldly and confidently? And you will be misunderstood, I promise you. Take that to the bank. He said, because you are able to, not mayest, but you're able to understand. Paul said, you're able to understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. It's only been 12 days. You ain't lying. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. Now, didn't they accuse Jesus in front of Pilate and Herod? Could they prove anything? If you think you're going to walk this life without being falsely accused and tell the truth, you're sadly mistaken. You're going to be very disappointed. Every one of us that tell the truth, preach the gospel as it was written and as it was spoken to us, not by English language but by the Spirit, you're going to be accused, falsely accused. I've been falsely accused many times. And it doesn't bother me more because I know that's a sign. To me, that's a sign when they falsely accuse it. They don't have the answer. They just don't want to believe what I'm saying. Well, if you can accuse somebody of being wrong, then come up with the right answer. If you don't have a right answer, what right do you say somebody's wrong? By what power and authority do you say that they're wrong? What proof do you have? What evidence do you have? None. I just don't believe it. Well, you're in trouble. You got to have some kind of fact, you know, and they don't have it. And that's just a mark of someone serving God and telling the truth, is being able to speak confidently with fact to back it up. And most people can't do that, so that's why they have a problem. But here's a part that I really like, these next couple verses. Paul says in verse 14, but this I confess to you, that after the way which they call heresy, okay? And you know what the word heresy means? Does anyone know what heresy means? No. Literally, it means a dissension arising from a diversity of opinions and aims. Well, it is, but that's not expressing it more definitely, definitively. You know, it's a dissension arising from a diversity of opinions and aims or ideas. You see what I'm saying? So it's not wrong to have those things, but to take it to the point of a dissension, of a separation of people because of not wanting to see the truth but wanting to be right, that's the problem. That's where heresy comes in. That makes denominations. And that's why Paul said, you know, I do what they say. He never disputed that he worshiped God in the way that they said he was, but all the false accusations, he said, no, I didn't do them. He just told the truth. I'm not guilty of those things. Anyway, he says, in the way which they call heresy, in this way, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets. He said, I believe it all. But see, they were looking at it with a natural understanding, a physical interpretation of it, versus the spiritual understanding of it. God is a spirit, and we are all spiritual beings. And God is speaking to us in spirit. We cannot communicate with God in the flesh. We must communicate in spirit. Is that right or wrong? Okay, if we communicate in the spirit, we'll find out that these things under the law and the prophets were shadows and types. They're not the reality. Those are shadows and types of Christ in the Old Testament. Now we have the reality of Christ. I don't need the shadows and types any longer, do I? That's what they haven't seen yet. In verse 15 says, And I possess confidence in God. He didn't say, I have hope, which says, I have hope toward God. No. He said, I possess the confidence in God, which they themselves also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Now, there's the boldness. He said, I can claim what I'm claiming. And they say the same thing. They just don't understand it, see? They say the just and the unjust are both going to be resurrected, don't they? Well, see, they say the just is going to come up for a great blessing, and the just unjust is going to come up to be punished. Show me a scripture that says that. They're all going to come up. A-L-L, correct? Just and unjust would cover everybody, wouldn't it? So who's going to be left out? Nobody. And he said, and in this do I exercise myself. He said, the reason I'm saying what I'm saying is because of this. I have a right to exercise and possess through this always a conscience void of offense toward God. He said, my conscience never has an offense in it. My conscience never has an offense in it. Do you hear that? Did Paul say he never made a mistake? He said, my conscience is never offended toward God. Why? Because he knows God's grace and mercy endures forever. Even if I make a mistake, Jesus paid that price. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. It was already taken care of. I know I made a mistake, and I won't do it again. If I make the mistake, I learn from the mistake. I never have to go back through that again. That's all he's trying to tell you. He said, I don't have a bad conscience toward God. I don't have a fear of God that he's going to come and do some bad thing to me just because I made a mistake. He put this tongue in a slippery place. Things, all kinds of things could slip out. He said, but not only toward God, but also men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before you. The ones who accused him should be here, but they're not doing it. And accused me if they had anything against me. Or else let these same hear, if they have found any evil doing in me, while I stood before the council, or the Sanhedrin council. He said, can they say when they found me in the council, when they took me to the council, did they find any fault? No. Just accusations. Yeah. But see, they made accusations, but they didn't have anything founded. They had no proof, no evidence they ever did anything wrong. Just accusations. And I've told people for years, if you find a fault in me, you bring it to me, and I will honestly look at it. And if it's a fault that is scripturally or morally wrong, I'll thank you for it. But if you're just going to come to accuse me, don't waste your breath, because I'm not going to accept just accusations. See, prove something to me. Show me that I did something wrong. Okay? verse 21, except for this one voice, this one saying, that I spoke with a loud voice standing among them, touching or concerning the resurrection of the dead, am I judged by you this day? Just because I spoke with a loud voice about the resurrection, I'm called into question today. Well, that's the way it is. And when Felix heard these things, having more exact, not perfect, but more exact knowledge concerning the way, the right way to live, he had a little more knowledge than some of them, he postponed them and said, when Lysias the chief captain will come down, I will know more the uttermost of your matter or your sayings. So he was looking for the captain to come down because he was an eyewitness, wasn't he? He was a, what would you say, a, what do they call the person that's on either side? Yeah, but there's one for either side, but there's one in the middle. It's for neither side, just saying what he saw. Can't think of the word right now. There's a word for someone who's not biased. There it is, an unbiased witness, an unbiased one. So usually if you have someone on the side of the ones making the accusation or someone on the one who's being accused, their witnesses both support their side of it. But we're wanting someone who's unbiased, which would be that captain, Lysias. Okay? He was unbiased. I knew I'd get it in a minute. My hard drive was slipping a little bit this morning. Okay. And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come to him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, Drusilla literally means watered by the dew, which was a Jewess. So what do you think she's talking about, watered by the dew? What would her name represent? She was watered by the Spirit of God. The dew of God is the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, which was a Jew. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith not in Christ, but the faith into Christ. The word is ice, 1519 in Strong's, into Christ. So he was going to hear about the faith of how you get into Christ. See, Christ is in everyone, but how do we get it reversed to where we're in him and he's not in us, but we're in him? He's on the outside. And he reasoned concerning righteousness and what? Self-control. See, there's a big thing. That's one of the things I've taught for years and years. Not letting your emotions run wild. Take your emotions and keep them in check. Don't let your emotions make your decisions. That's the soulish side. We need our woman in check. That's not the physical woman. That's our spiritual side here. We got the man, Christ, spiritual. The woman is our soulish side. The soulish side has to be kept in check because she's going to run out with emotions. So we got to keep the emotions in check, keep it in line. That goes right along with what he taught here. And judgment to come, or literally necessary for his purpose. The word judgment to come, the word to come means, let me say the whole thing again. And as he reasoned concerning righteousness and self-control and judgment necessary for his purpose. You see that? Judgment necessary for his purpose. Felix trembled and responded, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." Do you think there's a little conviction getting on the man? He's saying, "Yes, shut up, man. I don't want to hear no more. I'll be responsible if I hear any more." And he don't want to hear any more. Okay? There are a lot of people like that. I've had people say, "Don't tell me, then I'll be responsible." I've had them say that. "I don't want to know it, then I'm not responsible." No, you're already responsible when you said that. You just cooked your goose right there. You're already accountable. Verse 26, it says, "He expected also that money should have been given him by Paul, that he might loose him, wherefore he sent for him frequently and communed with him." He was hoping that he'd bribe him. Well, Paul didn't bribe him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus, the word Porcius comes from P-O-R-C-I-U-S, pork, swinish, speaks of a pig. So the guy was a swine. Doesn't say much about his character, does it? He was kind of a pig. He came, and he was a very festive person, so I would guess that the man was kind of pudgy, wouldn't you? He was piggish. His name, Porcius Festus. Porcius means swinish, and Festus means festival, or happy, and always jovial and everything. So he's kind of a fat, jovial guy. He came to Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound up. So this guy was for sale, would you say? He was for sale. If we're truly serving God, we're not going to. But see, even though they're wicked, Romans 12, I think it is, 1 and 2, verse 1 and 2 says, "Be not." Let's see, let me just turn there a second. Romans 12, I think it is. Yeah. "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice." That's not what I was wanted. Romans 13, 1. Excuse me. Romans 13, 1. "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, because there is no power except of God. The powers that are ordained or assigned," literally it says ordained King James, but it should say assigned by God. "The ones, therefore, opposing the power opposes the arrangements of God, and the one that opposes shall receive to themselves judgment." That's what the King James doesn't say, but that's what the language says. So every power that be, so these judges that Paul's standing before, who put them there? God did. He appointed them. He arranged everything for it. So even though they want to take care of the Jewish people, they kept Paul there. What are they doing? Fulfilling God's plan. When Joseph was thrown into prison, remember what he told his brothers when he came to get him? What you meant for evil, God meant for good. See? So it's not all good or like we hear people say, it's not all good, but it is all God. I can give them that one. It's all God. Whether it's good or bad, it's all God. Right? From his point of view. That's the whole point right there. If we can see it from his point of view, we have no problem with anything that goes down. Any questions or comments?